Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast.
Welcome, everyone. If this is your first time listening, we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast that deep dives all of the episodes. We're currently on season 17, episode 9, 10, and 11, and we are a spoilers podcast. So if you've not watched the entirety of Grey's Anatomy through, I'm going to say season 19, episode whatever the one Meredith leaves, then go and watch that first and then come back and listen to us.
Yeah. And if you want to support us, you can head to patreon.com/theoncallroom. It's in our show notes as well. There's a link to that. And there you can become an intern, resident, or attending. Meredith, we all know, well, spoiler, again, turn off the podcast, but you've probably been living under a rock if you didn't realize that Ellen Pompeo is leaving the show. So one of the things that we do for our patrons is bonus episodes. So we did a Zoom hangout before the episode, and then after the episode, Abby and I recorded our reactions to Ellen Pompeo's Meredith's last episode. Spoiler alert, we weren't too happy with it. But if you want that, those hot takes, then you have to be a patron. We appreciate everyone who donates. It's truly how we make this podcast run. So thank you.
Yeah. And also there's an entry level too. If you just want to be an intern for $2 a month, I believe, you get access to the Facebook group, which is another great place for community if you want to talk about Grey's Anatomy with someone and no one in your real life is watching the show still. There's a ton of active people in the group. It's really fun and we would love to see you there. So as always, thank you for supporting us. You can always follow us on Instagram at the On-Call Room Pod, as well as you can email us or contact us through our website, www.theoncallroompod.com or theoncallroom@gmail.com. Right?
Yes.
I think I nailed that.
You did.
Only took 5 years.
Yeah. And the last thing, $10 patrons, when we call time of death, you get an extra 10 to 15 minutes of bonus content. We call that post-op. Tonight, our post-op topic is going to be about Amelia and Link. So they have a conversation about marriage, and we're going to get into it there. We're going to read around a little bit later on about that. But if you want to hear us talk about Amelia and Link this week, you're going to have to be a $10 patron.
Exactly. How's your Monday going? It started with freezing rain.
Yeah, it didn't. I had to wake up early. Ugh. I had to get fasting blood work done. So I had to stop eating last night by 9 o'clock, which doesn't sound.
How dare.
But it doesn't sound that late until your husband is sitting next to you with a little snack while you're watching TV. And you're like, I would really like a little snack right now.
You're like, it's like, you're like, look at me sacrificing for my, like, it feels like such a big move.
Yeah. And also, like, I usually don't snack that late, but when you can't, you're like, I am starving right now. So I had to get up early and get to the doctor's in this terrible rain. It was so weird, Michigan. It like, and I know here we are with the weather again, but can I just say, it was like raining, but when it would hit the trees, it would freeze.
It turned into ice.
Yeah, but it wasn't like the roads were fine. They were slushy. It was very odd. And it felt like something was wrong in the world. It was pouring rain.
Oh, yeah, pouring. I went into Target and when I came out, my car was frozen.
Oh, yeah. Not great.
Like it had like a thin candy shell which it was like easy to get off. It was so weird. Yeah. And I got like drenched.
Same.
Going in and out of places, like in a way that I was confused because I feel like I don't get that wet when it's raining.
I felt the same exact way. I had like my winter coat on and it was sopping wet and my hair was yes. like I took a shower and I was just yeah, putting groceries in my car. I was like, I don't understand what is going on.
There was a good TikTok of a guy in similar weather. It was that freezing rain last week. And he was like, what is this falling from the sky? He was like, it's like cream corn, like the substance of it. Like it's yeah. not a liquid and it's not a solid. It's like cream of corn. And it was.
Oh, yeah. I totally felt that way. I also will say I am just like, I think we're all feeling it. If you're in a part of the world where you get that winter weather, like the cold rain or like snow, ice, that type of shit. I think we're all reaching the point where we're like, okay, I'm fucking over this. So I went to Michael's today and I went in their spring section and I bought like some little like Easter egg things and like a little like fake floral thing. And then I went to Trader Joe's and I got tulips like a plant of it and also like a bouquet. And I was like, that's it. I'm springing up my home because I'm so over winter. I bought a little like chickadee.
Did you get any lambs? I feel like that's next.
No, I have like four decorations. So it's nothing like Halloween or Christmas, but it's just a little touch of spring. And then I got a sign that says welcome spring, but that will go outside.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
you know, because I don't have a spring one. So now I have my spring sign. Very exciting.
I want you to get that goose that you can dress in different outfits.
Oh, I want that goose too. I really do.
I feel like it would, I would like to get it for you if I can figure out how to get that. I am usually feeling the same way, but I am still in winter mode and I'm like enjoying it. So I understand that. And I'm sure when I like, if I get off the airplane from Honduras in March and it's still fucking cold, then I'll be like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm just so afraid of responsibilities this year more than I ever have been before. Like, I am dreading work responsibilities.
Yeah. I think that's where the difference is between you and me because I have continued to just be in school. So my responsibilities right. haven't stopped. Changed. So I'm like, I would just like it to be nicer out at this point where like, you yeah, know that sure. that this weather means like you are still having a break from your work.
Yeah.
I get it.
Like, it's so weird because it's like a break, but I'm like filling the time. Like I still am like not having time to do everything. So I don't quite understand how that works, but well, probably because like similar today, and I don't want to get into this, it'll put me in a bad mood. I spent 2 hours on the phone with my dad and about an hour on the phone with someone from Apple, all to end up that we're going to have to go to the Apple store tomorrow morning for an appointment.
Oh, you, because that was the end of it all? I didn't know.
Mm. His phone is like an iPhone 6.
Mm. Yeah, my dad just got rid of one of those. Yeah.
Yeah, and it like, I don't even need to get into it because I'm going to get messages from you suggesting how to fix it. And I have tried everything. And then the Apple guy was being a ding dong and was like, I felt like that scene in Parks and Rec when Nick Offerman's like, I know more than you. Like, I felt like he was treating me like I didn't know anything about technology. And I actually like, I feel like I'm pretty good with it. And like, I had spent like an hour reading forums on Apple.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I understand what you're saying, sir. I was like, he's like, we don't want to speculate because you don't have the phone in front of you. I was like, no, I would like us to speculate. I was like, I would like us to try and like walk through some scenarios of what it could be so that I can go help my dad because I don't have the phone. And he was like, well, I can't give any advice without the phone in front of you. And I was like, and this isn't exactly true. He doesn't live that far away and he's also not that old. But I was like, he's an elderly man that lives far away. Like, there is no solution to this. Like, you need to speculate with me. And the guy was not having it.
It's just such bullshit. I get it.
I wasn't being mean. I was being stern. I was being very like what I imagine a man would be like on the phone.
Yeah, I had. Well, and that's the thing is like because you were a woman, you were probably honestly treated differently. I'm not going to get into this, but I had a thing this weekend and there was one male who was present. And he said some things to me and interrupted me like multiple times. And I was like, if I were a man, you would not be treating me this way.
oh yeah, he just wouldn't let me get a word in. And I was like, yeah. I fucking understand what you're saying. I was like, I am actually two steps ahead of you.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's so frustrating. And then when you like either have a more assertive tone or you cut them off or you like, yeah, I cut this person off and I said, I'm sorry. Like, what does this have to do with what I was just talking about and you cut me off for? Then you're a bitch. You know, then,
oh, yeah.
Then it's like you are being so rude. And it's like, but I am just being just as assertive as you are. And it is so frustrating. So,
well, that, and then when I'm done with the phone call, I hang up and I want to cry.
Oh,
like I've
yeah.
used up my energy to like be assertive. But anyways, I'm hoping that tomorrow, what I'm actually hoping is that they're like, sir, you need a new phone. And he's going to retire soon, in which it's a company phone. So he's going to need to get a new one anyways. And I'm like, maybe there's a way that like they can get him the new phone and then the company cannot take his phone when he retires. You know what I mean? Like, because he will have bought one.
Yeah.
And I just like, let's just start the fucking process now. Like, let's get you a new phone that like you will probably have for the rest of your life because he's had this one for like
mm-hmm.
7 years. Mm-hmm. So like I, you know, and so I don't know. We'll see. That's my hope. And otherwise I have to leave, you know, 45 minutes into the meeting because I have a haircut. So do you get your hair done tomorrow?
No, we're on the wrong schedule now.
Oh, it's because I went 2 weeks longer. I went 10 instead of 8.
I know. Now and now it's all fucked up. We'll never be on the same schedule again. About, yeah.
Okay.
That's a whole other thing that I'm not going to get into on the podcast about how much money I spend on my hair.
Well, it's funny. I spend like similar and I don't have bleach and tone. So like, what am I doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing, but you should evaluate.
I think I'm going to get some long, well, like some fringe situation tomorrow though, because I have from now until essentially late April, early May until wedding season really starts when like it gets hot. Like it's not going to get hot till May here in Michigan. And so I feel like that's long enough that if I have like a set, like a medium length fringe, it'll grow long enough to be put up by then. You know, so this is like my window because I'm just bored.
Play around with it, you know?
Yeah, it's getting long. It's like long. Like I would say it's considered medium length.
Yeah, I would say so.
Like it's past the hitting shoulders. It's like much past that.
I feel like I'm never going to grow my hair out again. It's just so nice.
So easy to have short hair. Also, yeah. My mom told me your hair looked really cute.
Oh my gosh. Thanks, Laura. Hey.
I'm trying to think how she saw it now that I say that. Where would she have seen it? She wasn't on the Zoom call.
You did post a photo of me that night.
Did I?
Uh-huh. Sitting on your couch.
Yes, you were. Yes. Maybe that was it. She was like, Bree's hair is so cute.
That's really nice. Thank you. Thank you, Laura.
No one ever. You know, I did find when I had short hair, I got hair compliments. And when you have long hair, you're just another one of the gals.
Well, I just feel like I have like a style now. Like I have like a cut. Whereas right. when your hair is long, yeah, it doesn't feel like a cut necessarily. So
that's why I'm hoping that like a fringe will like make me feel like I have a cut.
Yeah. Yeah. I say go for it.
Anyways, our lives are, you know, pretty boring. So
speak for yourself. My life is super thrilling. Oh, I did start a new documentary today.
What is that?
But I took a nap in the middle of it. So I got to start it over again.
Interesting. Must have been really good.
I just needed a nap today. It was shitty weather.
You sound so much like your sister when you say that. Like the way you said that, I can hear both of your sisters saying that.
I actually haven't napped in a very long time now that I don't have a
You don't have your lunch hour anymore.
Yeah. And so I don't really nap very much anymore. But today it just felt like I didn't have a lot to do. And yeah, it was just a midday thing. I had a lot of dip, like that Greek yogurt spinach dip.
Not chewing tobacco, no. To be clear.
No. I'm not Dax Shepard. I had a lot of like chip dip.
Oh, that's tiring.
It was exhausting. And so I had to lay my head down. And then Marge came and like, you know, snuggled with me. And so I was really.
Marge, your deaf cat.
Yeah. So it was really warm. And then I was like, I think I'll just shut my eyes for a minute here. So anyway, I missed like part of the episodes, but it's on Hulu. And I can't remember what it's called, but it's about.
Oh, good.
stop it. But it's about that cult from those students who go to Sarah Lawrence.
Oh, Sarah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I've heard about that. I want to watch it.
Yeah. So it was really good, but I'm not saying it wasn't good and that's why I fell asleep. I was just snoozy, guys.
For sure. No, I get it.
Oh, also, Drive to Survive season 5 came out last week or this weekend on Friday. And so John and I have 2 episodes left. We've really just plowed through that. And the first race is Sunday. So like less than a week.
I feel overwhelmed that I haven't watched any of that because I want to be a part of it like you guys all are. And I feel very left out on Sunday mornings. But I like don't know if I have it in me to watch 5 seasons of a show.
It's so good. I think, and granted, well, no, I didn't watch it all when I had my surgery, but like I blew through the seasons. Like there were probably 10 episodes and there's a lot of drama in it. And I think you would blow through it, especially if you and Jake watched it together.
Well, we are trying to watch The Last of Us, but he had to go to bed early on Sunday. So we didn't get to watch it. So I haven't gotten to watch it yet. So no spoilers. You haven't watched it yet. Also, did you tell John to download Shrinking? Because I just watched the new episode and it just got me in the feels. Like I can't even tell you.
I forgot about it. Hold on, John. Can you download the show Shrinking?
There are only 29 minute episodes too. So like there's six or seven episodes. So like you'll blow through that easily.
What is it again? Is it an Apple TV show?
Apple TV. Mm-hmm. Ted Lasso. Remember the creator of Ted Lasso did it.
The creator.
That's the enticing factor for John. Of
Ted Lasso made it. Great. I just sent it. I think we should be good. So
great. Excellent.
Anyway.
We should probably get into the episode.
Yeah. I don't really want to talk about them, but fine. We'll do it.
I know. I especially don't want to talk about the first one, but.
Oh, interesting. I have like a lot of notes on that one. We'll get into it. Okay.
Oh, good. That's a great balance. So, okay, today we're talking about, also just a reminder, if you forgot this, if you don't want to hear our bullshit in the beginning of the episode, there in the show notes is the time of when we switch to Gray's content. So,
right.
Feel free.
Yeah, feel free to
zoom through us.
To just hit that forward button over and over and over. Yep. I mean, I do that on ads, so.
So do I. I get mad when the ads aren't like how they are on Spotify, where like you can see like there's only 10 seconds left in the ad. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, I know. Okay. I know what you're talking about. But also sometimes do you ever do this last thing where you're like you like are doing something and you always skip through the ads, but you're like busy in something. And all of a sudden you realize you've been listening to like 5 minutes of ads and you're like, what?
Yes.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck am I doing? Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Someday we'll have ads.
Maybe.
Okay, season 17, episode 9, 10, and 11, In My Life, Breathe, and Sorry Doesn't Always Make It Right. I'll read the first one. The day you discharge a patient who nearly died is a very good day. You say your goodbyes, you wish them luck, and you hope like hell you never see them again. Because when a patient does return, there's a very good chance you screwed up. And then you'll be looking back to find what you missed, replaying every moment to find the one thing you could have done differently. And if you're like me, you'll obsess over finding that mistake until it drives you out of your mind. There's a problem with trying to understand every mistake you've made. You can't. And trying to robs you of your life, your plans, your future. Plus, you can't really learn from your mistakes if you stop moving forward. It's scary, it's uncertain, but you'll find something pretty special there. Hope. Meredith Grey.
Until pretty recently, doctors would slap a newborn on the back immediately after birth. It's not that they wanted to make the baby cry. They needed the baby to cry. It meant the baby could breathe on her own. Thankfully, we don't do that anymore, but we still hold our own breath until we hear that cry. And it doesn't matter if you are the baby's doctor or mother. It's the most beautiful sound in the world. The first time, anyway. The first minute in a baby's life is the most terrifying. In that minute, a million tiny air sacs have to perfectly open and fill with air. It's a pretty traumatizing way of entering the world. In that minute, your whole world stops. It's as if time stands still. And if I'm being honest, that minute is pure hell. But fortunately, most of the time, crying starts, the baby's okay, and the rest of us in the room can finally breathe again. Meredith Grey.
During our ER rotation in med school, my roommate fell in love with emergency medicine. She loved being on the front line. She felt that's where she had the most impact. But I knew 3 days in, emergency medicine was not for me. Most treatments were meant to just tide patients over until they could see their own physician, a specialist, or a surgeon. And I thought, what's the point of starting something you won't get to finish? One way or the other, surgeons get closure with their patients. Sometimes we fix you, sometimes we can't. but our intention is to find a long-term solution, which isn't to say emergency medicine isn't important, especially when something's gone neglected too long, but try as we might, some solutions can only be temporary. We evaluate you, we think in the moment, we do our best, and we hope like hell we've done enough to carry you through. Meredith Gray.
Shotgun workup, we have Teddy Altman, dehydration.
Meredith Gray, COVID-19.
Luna Ashton, prematurity.
Marcella Diaz, COVID-19.
Irene Davis, multiple sclerosis, kidney stone.
Jerry Bletzer, broken leg, fat embolism.
Veronica Diaz, COVID-19.
Arthur Beaton, ventricular septal defects, cardiomyopathy, and heart failure.
Shane Riley, open book pelvic fracture, incisional hernia.
Carissa Skolaski, lacerations, headache, contusion, brain bleed. Wow, we didn't fuck one of those words up.
Really proud of us. So for rounds, okay.
Let me start, because who knows how I wrote this first one. And I like to edit as I go. Teddy is in shock and suffering PTSD from all of the loss in her life. We go on an adventure in her mind as she replays important moments in her life, like losing her parents, the day Allison died, as well as her insecurities about Owen and his ex-wives. She isn't responding to Owen as he tries to help her, so to keep her hydrated, he gives her an IV. Amelia comes over to help Owen with the kids and tells him he needs to forgive her. She explains that Teddy's trauma response is different than his and that he needs to give her a second chance because he loves her. After a scene in Teddy's mind where Meredith tells Teddy that it's not her fault that all these people died, Teddy gets up and out of her trance to help calm her daughter. Eventually, after some time, Owen talks to Teddy and tells her that he should have known that she wasn't doing well for her to do something so out of character. He says that at this time, all he can offer her is friendship and that he is sorry for her loss of Allison. He asks her to tell him about it, and together they have tea.
The hospital has one ventilator left, and because of that, they have to shut down their trauma. They have two patients, Victoria and Marcella, a mother and a daughter, who are both suffering from COVID-19. They both crash at the same time, and it's a choice of who gets the ventilator until Maggie comes up with the idea to have them share it, using a T-shaped tube system that are able to have the ventilator push air to two patients at the same time.
On the beach, Meredith is visited by Lexi and Mark. The two of them allude to the fact that on Meredith's beach, they are together. Mark talks about how he whispers into people's ears to try and help them make the right decision, and Lexi tells Meredith that the people she's lost have never really left her. Together, the two of them tell Meredith that the worst thing you can do in life is resist and fight change. They tell her not to waste another minute. At the end of the second episode, Meredith's ventilator is removed and she breathes on her own. When Owen tells Zola the good news, he attributes this success to Teddy and her unfailing persistence to care for Meredith. Very soon after the ventilator is removed, Meredith finally wakes up. She tells Richard she is sorry he had to make such a hard choice, but she is glad that she chose him. She is mostly spending her time sleeping, but she is able to hear what people are saying around her.
Boston is having another COVID surge, and Winston is having to head back to work. Maggie tries to convince him to stay because she can't imagine him not being there. And as he goes to open his headphones to play a song for her, he tricks her and gets down on one knee, proposing to her, and Maggie says yes.
Cormac's wife's sister, Irene, is in the hospital because she has kidney stones and also suffers from MS. During surgery, there is a complication with her ureter. But luckily, together, Catherine and Joe are able to repair it as well as her kidney. Cormac was incredibly upset when he heard there was a complication, but in the end, he thanks Joe for what she did. Joe tells Jackson, while in bed naked with him, that his mom is very scary.
Jackson is buying hotel rooms for patients who test for COVID and live with the family members and cannot afford a place to stay during quarantine. The intern Ortiz is upset at his method, saying that he's putting a Band-Aid on the problem and that he is stealing rooms from nonprofits. Jackson pulls her into the office at the end of the day and tells her that he has a big wallet and she has big dreams, and he wants her to tell him what to do and try and help those individuals who are in need.
Amelia and Link finally get alone time when Link's parents come up and offer to take the kids for the day. At first, they are about to have sex, and then Amelia begins crying because she finally feels like she can feel all the emotions she has pent up inside of her. They spend the day talking about Amelia's addiction, which she is constantly fighting and keeping at bay. They discuss the idea of marriage, since Link's mom continues to call Amelia her daughter-in-law. And twice, Link misreads the room and attempts to propose, and Amelia tells him no. They decide to check in with each other every few weeks to see how they're feeling about themselves and the idea. Boom.
All right, first notes. Mine is, oh man, that flashback of Teddy confessing her love for Owen and him saying, I am in love with Christina. She is not okay and out of her mind. monologue. What? Oh, maybe she says she's out of her. Maybe that's in the monologue, that out of her mind.
Yeah, that scene, I was like, wow, I forgot he did that.
Yeah, that was tough.
Let's just talk about this episode as a whole, I feel like.
Well, what's your first note?
Meredith is on the vent, but stable. Teddy is not well.
Okay,
cool. Exciting.
Cool, cool.
Okay, the part that, and I feel like you probably have more to say on this episode than me. The part that at first I was really surprised by, and this is like way later in it, so I'm going to bounce around, was the part when Amelia said to her, or to Owen, like, you're mad that you're, like, that she has a Christina. And I thought that was like such a interesting comparison, like Teddy's Allison, like that Christina really was Owen's true love, because mm-hmm. I also feel like I kind of thought that Teddy was, you know, like, it's interesting that like Christina is the one that's still sitting with him.
Yeah, I'll respond to that first and then I think go back to the beginning of the episode. But yeah, I think that was a really important part for Owen. And then you're mad because she has a Christina. And then I don't remember, like, there was something about PTSD. And then Amelia ends up saying, do you walk around telling everyone about how you strangled Christina? And I love how she said her trauma response is different than yours.
Yes.
I think that was really important for Owen to understand. And I kind of feel like Amelia was the only person to be able to say that to him, and for her to, or for him to be able to listen. But yeah, I think I never really thought about Christina being Owen's, like, I don't want to say like true love, but maybe like deep love, like similar to Allison. But after Amelia says that, I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. Like, because the reason that Owen and Christina broke up is not because they didn't love each other. It's because he wanted children and she didn't. And like that, and then, you know, Allison died. So was taken away from Teddy.
So it had nothing to do with them not liking each other on both ends.
Right. And I think there was obviously Owen had hate for Christina. Like he talks about having the affair. I hated her. She had an abortion. I think there's all of that. But like underneath all of that hate and anger, he really loved her and he wanted her. He wanted her, I guess, maybe he didn't love her. Oh, God, I feel like the listeners are going to be like, well, he didn't really love her because he wanted her to change and he wanted her to have kids. But I do think there was like a true deep love there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. At some point. Who knows if there still is. But either way, it's like someone from your past that you had a deep love for, that the relationship ended, but not necessarily because
there wasn't love anymore.
Right. Yeah. And so I just feel like that comparison was interesting to me. And I'll just say too, I think before the season started, I definitely like shit talked this Allison storyline as being something like out of the blue and it doesn't check out. And I do, as much as I didn't really love this episode, like I probably wouldn't rewatch it. I will say that the way, like seeing all this loss in Teddy's life, like it actually doesn't feel as much out of left field as it did before. And I do think they've like put enough into it this season with all these scenes that like I do have a little bit more of a grasp, you know what I mean, like on it. And it doesn't feel so crazy and out of left field.
Yeah, totally. I agree. And we don't have to talk a ton about this. I'll just talk about my few notes. And if you want to hop in.
Yeah.
This is I think both of us, our second time watching. We haven't like rewatched this episode. I do feel like I liked it more than the first time I saw it. I didn't love this episode. I think I could kind of see what they were going for. And I think they did a good job on some things and then other parts just felt like really wacky, you know? I thought Teddy, I don't know. I thought she did an incredible job like laying in bed and with some type of psychosis. Like she looked like she did not look well. And I was like, that's very good acting. She had lovely jammies on when she was running around doing things.
Yeah.
I don't know, like the weird, like mystical things that they wrote into it. Like when she sees DeLuca and then she's in the body bag herself.
Yeah, that part I could have done without.
Oh, really? I thought it was I thought it was very fascinating. Like,
ooh, okay. I love this take for you.
Yeah. And then like all of those people watching her in the gallery and looking really angry, like Richard's up there and stuff. I don't know. It just, to me, it presented so much pressure that she was feeling. And then also like she was killing other people, but like she herself is dead inside. Like she's in the body bag, you know?
Oh, that makes sense. And I should say, I didn't dislike all the mystical things. Like I loved the scene, not love, but I felt really impacted by the scene when she's at the park with Allison.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, the plane hits the towers and then everyone Allison starts choking as if probably what happened when she was inside the tower. Like, and that was very like, I like that we use the word mystical, but like not real, you know, yeah. Like very like fantasy mixed with realism. And like that really affected me. So I feel like those are similar aspects of it. Like, I think they were trying to come up with visual ways to explain what she was feeling.
Yeah. And then like, you know, all those lights going off in the hallway, it was like a very horror movie thing. Mm-hmm. Then at one point Teddy's pregnant and then she's not, and then Owen's gone. And then that scene where Tom is there, like in the hotel, I don't know if you noticed, but the curtains are flowing like crazy. They're like, it's very like labyrinth, like they're blowing all around.
Well, I didn't understand why that scene was so gold when everything else was blue.
Oh, interesting. I don't know.
Like at first I was like, oh, okay, there's going to be a through line here. But like every other scene, and I mean, there was the grenade in that, which then it exploded and everything went back to blue. So maybe it was like this like idea of like this thinks it's this good thing, but it's actually really not. And she's going to blow it up. You know what I mean? Like she's going to mess it up.
Yeah, because I have, oh, shit blows up. Like she blew up Tom's life and her life.
Right.
Which I think. Right. And then, yeah, DeLuca is back and he said, you're always blowing things up.
So maybe the gold was like a quick moment where it like it seems like everything's OK, but then she fucks it up.
Yeah. And then the part where this kind of reminded me, because I recently rewatched the episode. Remember where Christina has like the two part thing where she's like in one life, she ends up having kids with Owen and the other she doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, when she ends up, Teddy tells Owen to wait in Germany, like she opens the door.
Oh.
And then Owen has like a different response to her about Allison, like because Teddy ends up telling Owen so much sooner before she's even pregnant. And his response is, I'm so sorry you lost her.
Oh, weird.
And so then they get married. Like it's just like a gentler, but still then they're going to get married. And Amelia is texting Teddy. Or I'm sorry, Amelia's texting
Owen.
Owen. Yeah. And then.
And Beth and Christina.
And Christina. And like, oh, Christina bought us tickets to Switzerland. So it just shows like Teddy's, you know, like lack of confidence in like Owen's love for her. There are all these other women. And then I don't know this part. The only reason we have a baby together is because of Amelia.
Because Amelia told him to go to Germany.
Oh, right. Also, oh, we learned that Teddy's parents, both of them died the same year. That's a lot of trauma.
That was really awful, too. And I think why I also feel better about the Allison thing is I also find the character of likable, like very likable. Like,
yeah,
there are sometimes we hear of a backstory character and like we get scenes with them or even like I'm thinking about like Megan and I just don't like them. You know what I mean? Like as a character. But I feel like if somehow Allison was still alive, like I enjoy the personality that they gave her. And I love that speech she gave Teddy of like, you may not want these things now, but you're going to, and I'm going to go get them for you. Like, I was like, that is a deep friendship.
Yeah.
Like, to do that.
And I can't remember if Amelia said this or if I'm just making a note about this, but Teddy feels like she killed Allison.
Yeah, because she said she didn't say yes to pancakes.
Right. Yeah.
Teddy
is
saying all of that to Meredith when Meredith comes
right.
in. Right. And Meredith is the one that says, like, you're running from the pain, essentially. And like, you can't do that. And also she tells her that it's not your fault that these people died, which I do think is like the underlying feeling. You know what I mean? That like it's her fault Allison died. It's her fault DeLuca died. It's her fault Owen and Tom's lives are blown up. Like she's putting so much on herself.
Totally. I think the final thing that I liked about the episode was Amelia saying that Teddy needs help and sometimes traumatized people lie.
Yeah.
like Owen's like, I don't know if I can do it. And Amelia tells Owen, you did it before you did it with me, which I think was like kind of showing like Amelia, like showing Owen what his strength is. And then the thing that I think the most poignant thing of the whole episode is when Meredith in the end, like you were saying, tells Teddy she runs from pain. She doesn't want to feel it, but running from pain means running from joy too. There is no joy without pain. And I think that is, I think that's absolutely true. Like, I really feel that way. If you try and avoid pain in your life, you're not going to be, you're going to have like foreboding joy. You're not going to be able to feel those really intense, beautiful moments as well.
It's a similar concept, but different idea to in the next episode. I'm not moving ahead. I'm just saying where the idea too is like you have to let go of things because if not, like you won't be moving forward.
Yes.
Like change is going to happen. And if you don't accept it, then you're just stuck. And like similar, like I just feel like they're really throwing some like big ass life lessons in these episodes.
Yeah. Now how it ended, like, I don't know if I really cared for that. Like, I feel like it wrapped up real quick and all of a sudden, like
her getting her kid.
Yeah. Like being in there with Allison. I was like, well, that was a pretty quick, like,
yeah,
whatever. But I don't know. Honestly, I was happy to kind of be taken out of COVID for a moment. Like, I think
that's true. That's true.
I feel like they tried something new and it was like, I don't know that it fully landed, but it was nice for me to be like, okay, we're not in the hospital, even though we had those like moments of seeing like the bodies and stuff with the or the gurneys with sheets on them. Like, we weren't dealing with COVID necessarily. And so I felt like that's it was a slight reprieve, I guess.
No, that's great. And I will also say then, just staying on the topic of the two of them, but moving forward a little bit, is that in Teddy's vision, she sees a moment where she tells Owen about Allison and he's very understanding about it.
Right.
And I did appreciate that we get that moment in, I believe, the third episode.
Yeah.
When Owen, which I'm really proud of Owen for, like, you know, because I'm sure it's not easy to apologize to someone who slept with someone on your wedding day. That's an insane sentence when you say it out loud.
Yeah.
That I love that he's like, I can't offer you like relationship yet. Like, I don't know. But like, we have always been friends and you've never done anything but be there for me. So when you did something so out of character, I should have known you were not okay. I can be your friend, Teddy. And I'd like to hear about Allison if you'll tell me. And I thought Teddy's response was so... It made me a little like GGB when she like, first of all, the relief of your closest friend finally forgiving you, like, would be just insane. I can't even handle if you were mad at me for like a minute. So I can't imagine if I slept with someone else on our wedding day.
How dare you, Abby? How dare you?
I know. And then, but like when she turns the other way and like doesn't want him to see that she's just like crying, you know, like.
I know.
He opened a door and like. Also, just to share a part of her life. We don't get to see what she shares, but like Allison was a big part of her life. It probably also must feel very freeing to get that off your chest.
Yeah. And I think like, my two notes about pretty much in the whole episode, I didn't really care for episode 11, but that last line that he says that you just said. But the other part he says is, she like apologizes about, I should have told you sooner. And he says, you told me when you could, and I should have been there for you. Like, yes. Even that part of like understanding that, like, you got to this and opened up, this was a trauma and you opened up to me when you finally could and were able to, is so big of Owen. Like, I feel like that is not often how Owen.
That is Owen with therapy. And with Amelia's help.
And with Amelia's help, honestly. And maybe being a father and like, you know.
Yeah.
So I know he was very reactive, but I think he was able to find some, like you said, some forgiveness and healing. And I agree. I almost thought they were getting back together in this episode. And I was like kind of annoyed by that. But I love that he's like, I don't know if I can be more than your friend, but like, I'm willing to be that for you.
Right. And she hasn't had that for a very long time because she was also like avoiding him.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like this is a good step in the right direction. But yeah. So no, you made me like it more when you spoke wisdom into the episode.
Oh, well, I don't know if it was wisdom, but I was maybe just in an okay mood watching it. So.
Are you good with us moving on to the next topic?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just wanted to say, like, I'm thinking about in like zones of what affected me in these four episodes are like, and the next one I would feel like, usually we don't talk about patient stories as much, but I actually thought this situation with the mother and daughter was like so intense.
Yeah.
And like, it actually had me feeling like Jumanji drums a little when Schmidt, you know, tubed her, whatever the term is. And then Maggie comes in and is like, what did you do? Like, I felt like that was very, I don't know, that aspect of the episode I was very pleased by, in the sense that like I felt things. It also was one of those where it's like an impossible situation. Like when they talked about it, you know, it's like either we save the mom and then when she wakes up, she'll never forgive us that we let her daughter die, or we save the daughter and this daughter will never live with, like, there's just no right answer. And I do feel like that is probably how every fucking doctor and nurse felt during COVID when it was as crazy as it was. Like, there just was no good way, because like the running out of ventilators was a real thing.
Yeah, I wondered if they wrote this because, do you remember when they started talking about they were having people share ventilators?
No, but I'm sure it reflected that, because they wouldn't put something in the show that has never actually happened once.
Right? I remember that because I remember my brother saying that in like a text message or something. Uh-huh. Because it was like, yeah, we're running out of vents. And he said, I specifically remember this. Like,
wow.
Like, I don't know what part of the country it was in or whatever, but he was like, there are multiple people on vents right now. And I was like,
I feel like it's very genius.
Well, yeah, but it was also so scary because it was like, that's terrifying. How fucked we are. And it was like, I remember being like, oh my God, this is like that sentence I remember scared the shit out of me. So I was like, that had to have been reflecting like certain, you know, I don't know if Grand Rapids ever experienced that, but I know that there were a lot of places around the world that did. So
it was scary too when they removed Meredith's, because I was like, there's none left. Like, right. Because I know she still has dreams about Derek. We have this whole like wedding to come. And so I'm like, is she in a coma for that, or is she just sleeping?
You know? Oh, yeah. Does she get worse again?
That's what I can't remember. So part of me thinks that it's during her like weakness, because she was seeing Mark and Lexi. Well, no, I guess she was still on the vent. So I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
But I just thought that storyline was really like, ugh. And I just can't imagine being those doctors and being those people and
having to make those choices.
We never find out the outcome of them, I feel like, you know, that's how these shows go. But
yeah,
it was a lot.
Can I talk about one of my GGB moments, or like feeling, I don't know if it was GGB, but when Owen talks to Tom, when Tom is like praying the rosary, and Owen talks about when he came back from Iraq, like he had the feeling of like, why me? Like, why do I get to cook dinner? Why do I get to fall in love? And he said, I would never wish that on anyone. And Tom's like, even me. And Owen kind of just gives him a look of like, yeah, even you. And I thought that was another like big moment for Owen of just like,
yeah. And I
reaching
also
a hand out of compassion, you know.
I loved that Tom didn't do a quip back.
Yeah, you know
what I mean, like I was afraid he was gonna like say something, whatever. But I do think like he is hurting a lot, like thinking about that. Yeah, I loved that moment too.
Now, was he, I think I missed, was he praying the rosary outside of Meredith's room?
I didn't know. I don't know. I must have looked away. I don't know. I can't answer that for you.
Because the person who was laying in the bed on the vent, I was like, is that supposed to be Meredith? Because
it's probably that like cast.
Yeah, I was like, that looks nothing like her. But I couldn't remember. I like missed the blip of like whose room he was outside of. I assume it was Meredith's. And let me just say, it looked nothing like Meredith. So moving on.
Oh, no. That thing, that body cast isn't getting paid much.
No.
So it's just laying there. I didn't feel much for the Cormac thing. I was like, why are we even doing this storyline?
I felt similar. Yeah.
Unless I'm just like, are we just supposed to learn more about him? Like, is this our way of like understanding more about his life through someone else? My only other, wait, go ahead.
I was going to say the one thing I felt that was interesting with the Cormac storyline is like his sister-in-law ends up saying like, you're smiling about this doctor. When can I meet her? And he's like, right. You can't. She's on a vent or whatever. And she's like, oh, again. But I'm like, oh, my God, they put this into the writing that Cormac has feelings for Meredith. And then again, nothing comes from it.
Nothing. Okay, when Catherine Fox is operating, I had this moment where, first of all, we haven't seen her operate in like what I feel like is years. Like in an OR, at least it felt that way to me. And I was also like, I felt like she was someone pretending to be a doctor. I was like, who let this woman like with a scalpel? Just because like, I don't know. Like, I mean, when she first came on the show, she was like badass penis doctor. But I just, we haven't seen that as much lately, or it feels like it. And I just was like, it felt like someone gave their great aunt like the scalpel and she was just playing. Like, I was like, what is happening? I was like, what is happening? I had a weird vibe during that. I loved when Joe said, like, your mom is terrifying.
Well, also, yeah, there was like that part where she goes in to kind of calm, to talk to Cormac's sister-in-law, which, what was her name? Irene. Yeah, Irene. She goes in to talk to Irene, and Irene's kind of like, well, you know, like, I have MS. Does that make this like just a like standard or whatever procedure? And then, Catherine's like, no, it doesn't. And she's like, because you have me, and like walks out. And I was like, that's not yes, helpful.
Just walks away.
I was like, that is not helpful at all. And Cormac like smiles at Catherine like, yeah, nice work. And I was like, I don't know. I don't think I would feel like you spoke to this patient for like 30 seconds. This patient knows nothing of you. And you're like, you're fine because you have me. I'd be like, I want a new doctor.
I also love when she was doing, and she's like, waste a kidney, child. Like, what do you think I am? Like, you idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know why the reason for that was, I guess, other than probably what you said to let us know that Cormac likes Meredith.
Yeah. Another random thing, we have Christina's texting Owen about Meredith.
Oh, I loved that. And how he wrote, Christina, I know how to read her monitors. And Christina responds, I don't care. And I loved that. I thought that was great. And I wish they did that more often. I just love the idea of her texting Owen also.
I know. Like, and I, again, like in my like watching not for the pod right now, it's a lot of like Mare Christina episodes. And I'm like, yeah, this friendship would not go away because she like moved across the country or across the world. Like,
right.
She would be very much concerned about Meredith. And like, of course she would be texting Owen about it. Like, that makes perfect sense. So
let's talk about the beach.
Sure. We got the hologram.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is in the notes and trivia, but if you didn't know, Kyler Lee, they're not there. They're in, I believe it's Vancouver or something. Yeah, filming something else. And because, or for Supergirl. And so because of that and the COVID protocols, they couldn't come. I remember thinking these felt weird, and then it was like confirmed later. Mark was there though.
Yeah. So
he still felt weird. Why the fuck were they playing on playground equipment?
Okay. Yeah. So I was confused by that. Okay. Great. I knew Kyler was not there, but I was confused. I was like, Mark is there, right? And so when they're running on in the water together, I'm assuming that's a body double. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Same with like, they would show her pushing Mare on the swing, and then it would zoom out. And it would be like someone at like it was like a body double pushing yes. Mare on the swing. Okay, I'm gonna say the overall like theme of what Mark and Lexi are there to tell Meredith, I totally get. You know, like don't waste time, because the two of them fucking wasted so much time not being with each other, and then they died, and like that was like just I feel like that was the horrible part of their storyline. You know, right. Like there was that all that back and forth, and so. I like that on Meredith's beach, they're together, whatever. So they're telling Meredith, don't waste time, like don't fight change, blah, blah, blah. That was all fine. It was just so bizarre. Like when the way Meredith says Mark, the first time he shows up, it's like, Mark. It was so weird. Actually, you know, when you hear Ellen Pompeo in an interview and you're like, oh, wow, she is nothing like Meredith. Like they're very different.
Uh-huh.
It felt like Ellen.
Yeah.
Like it felt like it I was agree. Very Ellen vibes. And I did get a little like, I didn't get emotional at all. What am I kidding? But I appreciated when Mark says, you're early, too early. Your oldest is Sophia's age. I promise you it's too early. Just like his mention of Sophia. But I like, why were they spinning her on that thing?
Yeah, I agree. It felt like strange acting. It didn't really land. They felt like odd together. The one thing that I felt a little bit GGB about, and it was more about my own life, was when she said, like, she was saying different things and they're like, well, that's dumb. And then she said, oh, I miss you. And Lexi says, oh, that's dumb too. And Meredith's like, why? And she said, well, because we never left you. Like, we're right by your side. And Mark says, sometimes.
Very Harry Potter.
Yeah. Sometimes we're right next to you yelling in your ear. And like, as it referencing earlier in the episode. And I don't know. I think like that is a nice moment. But also it's really sad because Mark talks about how he can't move on because like he has to be there for his daughter and like, you know, Callie and Arizona and stuff. And so that made me really sad, too. I'm like, so you can't find final peace and resting because like, you know,
let's say this version of Mark can't. But maybe like, you know, this is just Meredith's version of Mark.
Yes. Yes, that's true. But that part made me feel like, oh, like we've never left you. But I was annoyed that Lexi said, well, that's dumb. And I was like, well, fuck you. Grieving. We're all grieving.
Also, I have a note that says I am literally blacking out during these stories about Meredith's children. Like when they were 100%. Talking about again, like, oh, Ellis does this thing and Bailey does this thing. I was like, I literally don't care.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Like they wasted so much time and they have so far on every beach episode. Like I want to hear references to things we've seen. Again, we've talked about this like and it was happening again. And I just really noticed it. And I was like, what is happening? There's a part when like Lex. Oh, so go ahead.
I was going to say, I do notice that there is an overarching theme on the beach of why Meredith needs to go back, which again, can be problematic all in of itself, choose to go back is because of her children. Like that is the whole theme from all of these people. It's like you can't give up because you have your kids, which is like fine, but it's also annoying because it's like we don't really care about these kids.
Right. Like I wish it was like Derek was alive and on the other end, you know, like. Like picture Derek when he was in the hallway after she drowned, like that raw emotion. Like I'm missing that on the other side.
Or like, I mean, I think definitely part of it is like, yeah, motherhood like that. I think that is a big part of it. And it, you have children and that should be within these episodes. But also like you're an incredible surgeon. You save all these lives. You like change the world, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's we just don't care about all these random stories about her children that we never even see.
Well, and I don't want people to think, I think some people are like, wow, they really hate the children. It's very in this show. Like I think about shows, you know, like Parenthood or whatever.
Oh,
like
God,
I fucking care so much about the children. So it's not that it's because they're children. It's because the show didn't really incorporate them. And now they're trying to make them these huge, important things. We obviously understand motherhood and like the importance of that. But in this show, it's never been stressed upon in a way or the characters, the children weren't given much personality, you know?
Yeah. And I think the other part of it for me is like, if you're going to tell these stories, like, I know it wasn't this episode, but like a couple, I think it was last week where it was like Zola writes in the closet to her dad or something. Right. Okay. So that's the example. If we see that on the screen, we might feel differently, but they're all these made up fucking stories that we have never once seen of these kids. That to me is why it is annoying. It's like Ellis does this and Zola does this. And it's like, but we also see Zola and Ellis and Bailey in these episodes, but they're not doing anything that you're talking about. So it just doesn't feel real. That's what bothers me about it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I love when Chief dances.
Oh, you did? I hated it.
I think I liked the moment of relief with like the double ventilator. And like, I felt like it was a moment of like, holy shit, if for once it's not a bad day.
No, I think that's great. I'm happy that you liked it. But I have a note of like, this is very annoying that everyone is dancing because like dance it out is like a big thing on this show. And I was just like, this is annoying, but I'm glad you liked it.
I only specifically like Chief dancing.
Oh, sure. Okay.
As in Richard, because James Pickens Jr. doing anything like that just gets me right. It scratches an itch, as absolutely. My new favorite phrase. Okay, let's quick hit on Maggie and Winston.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What did you think?
I have no strong feelings either way. I felt emotional for Maggie. Like I felt like for her to be seen and loved, although later they end up like not getting along because he still doesn't see her, I feel like, or like wants her to change. But like in that moment, you know, all Maggie wanted was to not be alone and for someone to like tell her that they want to not ever leave her. I felt like was very like, I felt for her. I felt very emotional, but I also felt like then the next episode, they literally never talked about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I, similar vibes. Like I kind of felt like I was like, oh, wait, is this the proposal? Do we feel like it's fast? Like, it might be fast,
oh, it's
right?
So fast.
Okay, cool. Okay, great.
It's so fast. I mean, they talk about that later. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But yeah, I mean, it's got to be like months, if months.
Yeah. With like a bunch of serious, stressful stuff going on.
Right.
Her sister on a bed.
I did like that he said, like, I haven't, you know, taken care of all my loose ends. So you do have an out. Like, I kind of appreciated that.
Yeah.
So that, because I really felt like he actually meant that too. Like, he wasn't just like saying that. Like, I think he was saying, like, I recognize that this is fast. And like, if you're not ready, that's fine. But yeah.
I did think it was very cute. Maggie's acting of her saying yes was beautiful.
It was so good. Yeah. I felt the same way.
I felt it was very believable. So,
yes. We're going to talk about Amelia and Link, which is most of my other notes.
I will just briefly say, like, the Jackson thing, like, I thought it was important, I guess. Not I guess, but like, it is that thing of like, oh, well, I'll just slap money on it. But it's like, you're actually like not really helping the situation.
Right.
And so I guess I appreciated that he was like, okay, well, like, I want to hear your ideas, but I don't feel like this storyline goes any. Or is that when he goes? No, that's how he leaves. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's why he moves. Yeah. It's to make bigger change, which is great. And I do appreciate, like, I don't think that, I keep calling her Mama Ortiz because, to be honest, I can't remember her first name. Can't remember any of these interns' names. But I feel like she's just used to people not actually being good people. And, like, she doesn't really know Jackson. And so I felt like his approach was great. It wasn't like him sitting alone in a room being like, I'm going to make change with my money. Like, him letting her do the ideas because she was the social worker. You know what I mean? Like, she has experience. He doesn't. I felt like was great. Like, it's kind of like that thing of like, sometimes like our voice isn't the one that's necessary. It's like someone else's. And so if we can amplify that. So, but I don't have much to say about it other than this is why Jackson leaves us. And I'm still sad about that a little bit, but whatever.
Yeah.
He can't solve anything in Seattle. Did you know that? He has to go to Boston to make systemic change.
Clearly. Same with Meredith.
And Tom.
I guess there's a lot going on in Boston that we didn't know about.
My TikTok served me my algorithm served me a TikTok that was a Tom Karasik like montage. And I was like, I do love him.
No, he is really great and he will be missed. But.
Okay.
He will be loved.
Mare wakes up, blah, blah, blah. They do that operation on that little baby, blah, blah, blah. We're going to talk about Amelia. That's really like...
That's it. Should we go to notes and trivia?
Yeah, let's do it.
This episode's title originated from the song In My Life, originally sung by The Beatles.
It scored 4.99 million viewers.
Oh, it's... a Teddy-centric episode. Did you? The other thing, we found out her name is Theodora, which I like that name.
Oh, love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the first episode not to feature Meredith Beach in this season.
Throughout Teddy's vision, the blue wedding dress she wears is a hand-dyed version of the white wedding dress she was wearing to her and Owen's wedding and put on a happy face.
The episode marks the final appearance of Giacomo Giannotti, though he is still credited throughout the season finale.
This episode's title originated from the song Breathe, originally sung by various artists. Okay.
My favorite band. This episode scored 4.55 million viewers.
Out of all returning actors formerly part of the main cast, Eric and Kyler are the first to be credited as special guest stars.
Kyler Lee filmed her scenes via green screen. They were in Vancouver to film Supergirl, and due to strict COVID-19 protocols, they would not have been able to film their gray scenes in Los Angeles and return to Vancouver in time.
The promo uses the song Breathe, 2 a.m., which was sung by Kyler in the musical episode.
Ah, 2 a.m. and she calls me. I didn't even hear it in the episode.
That's a good song.
It is. So is, what was the one I texted to? Ingrid Michaelson, the Just...
No,
just breathe.
I'm breathing now.
Yeah. This episode marks the first appearance of Kyler and Eric as Lexi and Mark since Flight and Remember the Time, respectively.
This episode's title originated from the song Sorry Doesn't Always Make It Right, originally sung by Diana Ross.
Scored 4.88 million viewers.
Oh, interesting. This episode marks the directorial debut of Giacomo Giannotti.
Ugh. Yeah. We didn't like that episode.
Oh, yeah, we didn't. Nice job, Giacomo. Okay, Catherine Fox.
I feel like...
Owen?
I kind of want to give it to Owen.
Yeah, I know. It's shocking, right? Owen or Amelia, or maybe both of them together. Because Amelia, I feel like...
Let's give it to Owen. Owen never gets it.
Okay, great. Okay, so we got to rate the beach and we got to rate overall episodes.
This is for sure my lowest beach rating. I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Yeah, I'd probably give it about like a 4.5 also. Overall, okay, like if I was just rating the Teddy episode, I'd probably give it a 6.5. But overall, I'm going to give it a 5 because the other two episodes I really did not care for.
I'm going to do a 6.
Okay.
Great, everyone. If you are a patron, make sure you stick around after we call Time of Death. You can listen on the Patreon app, or if you have the RSS feed, you can do that there. Please feel free to join. You'll get a backlog of all of these post-ops and bonus episodes. So we would love to have you there. And we have 2 more weeks left of season 17.
Yeah, which is wild. Then moving... I hit a cord. and then
not a spider.
No, I'm just so excited to move to season 18. I just had to scream about it. I'm so excited.
In the meantime.
In between time.
Time of Death is 1937.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.